Let your word work wonders in our lives tonight. Let it be truly confirmed by your word that we are destined for dominion. Heal our minds. Heal our bodies. Energize our spirit man. Make us see you clearly. Make us hear you clearly. Touch us and make us touch you. Thank you, mighty Father. And all who are full of expectation for the touch of the Lord in this service tonight, say a very loud amen. Will you again announce your neighbors, as many as you can? You are destined for dominion. You are destined for dominion. That's why you are here. You are destined for dominion. If your neighbor didn't tell you very well, tell yourself, I'm destined for dominion. Now give God another big hand and take your seat. I thought somebody is still shouting out there. Oh, will you fill this house with noise unto the Lord? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, I'm more than conqueror. Tonight again, I am privileged by God's servant, as the Lord directed him, the apostle over this commission, to bring a word to us in this convention that I believe has been taking us from glory to glory in his presence. When the Lord has built up Zion, then he will appear in his glory. The Lord is building you up right now. Your glory will soon be made manifest. I want to also commend all of our pastors and other leaders who have been coordinating effectively this convention. I pray that grace will multiply upon them in the name of Jesus. Both on ground at this live service at Faith Tabernacle and all across the globe where all of our men leaders are coordinating the activities. The Lord bless and increase you more and more. Again, for our host pastor representing God's servant, our resident pastor at Faith Tabernacle here, I pray for more of God's blessing in the name of Jesus. And for your friends seated next to you, I think you'd like to acknowledge them. Wonderful friends, wonderful brethren. God bless you all in the name of Jesus. Amen. I know you love your friends out there. You are greeting them, all of your brethren. Amen. Hallelujah. By way of reminder, the theme of this convention is destined for dominion. Now, take note of the word destined. That means it's already done. Destined. You may not look like it now, but you will soon manifest it. You are destined. Destined. That means your end is already predicted from now. God is not just trying to make you. God has already made you. If anybody looks down at you that you are a non-entity, just tell the person, give me some time. Come back tomorrow. Don't judge me now. Don't appraise me now. It's too early to do so. Just give me some time. Come back tomorrow. Before they return, they will discover that you are already manifesting. I thought I'm talking about someone here tonight. You are just under construction. The picture of your future is very clear. I know every building needs time to be constructed. Just like you have the faith tabernacle here, it took time to construct it, but the picture was already there. The picture of you is before God. Just like an artist, you know, the painter, he goes to the painting board, he checks the picture and touch the board. He looks at the picture and touch the board until the picture becomes a reality of his future. So don't you worry. Don't ask, when will I have dominion? You already have it. Why? Because God says so. You are already destined for dominion. For surely there is an end. Your end is destined for dominion. If somebody believes, shout, I believe. And because you believe, you shall see the glory of God. An angel came to Mary and said, you will conceive and have a child. And when she couldn't understand it, what did he do? She said, amen. Amen, she said. Be unto me according to your word. Amen means let it be so. You see, if you wait to know and understand everything, you may end as a waste. That's why we are called believers. When you don't understand what God means when he speaks, when you don't know how it will happen, just simply say, amen. Amen. Amen means I agree. If you agree, say another amen. You are destined for dominion. You are destined for dominion. And I hear God says, confirmed. And very shortly, you will be on this altar to share your testimony. Hallelujah. Now, we are looking at one very vital and critical virtue, spiritual force that ensures dominion. And by that, we caption this teaching as wisdom from above enthrones. To have dominion simply means to be in charge, to be in control, to be enthroned. Dominion is likened to kingdom. And over every kingdom is a ruler. Wherever foolishness is, it takes one to the floor. Wherever wisdom is, it takes people to the top. That's why there is no contest with wisdom. You are wise, you are wise. And you are wise for the top. Wisdom wires you for the top. Wisdom does not know how to go down. If you put wisdom on the floor, it will float or climb to the top. There are things you cannot submerge. You cannot submerge wisdom. It will find its way to the top. That's why wise people don't struggle for the top. They just go to the top. Wise people don't struggle to be in front. They just find themselves moving to the front. Wise people don't announce themselves. Wisdom publicizes them. This is why you have to look for it. No wonder the scripture says, with all your gettings, get on it.
Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And wisdom will get every other thing for you. Wisdom says, ever before God founded the heart, I was his companion. So God's number one need, if he has, as presented to us from scriptures, is wisdom. Wisdom. You find all of that analysis in Proverbs chapter 8, but specifically in 15 and 16. Proverbs chapter 8. By me, kings reign, which means without me, kings will lose their throne, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35. The wise shall inherit glory or dominion, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. You cannot be wise and suffer shame. And it will interest you to know that wisdom is ordained for the glory of the saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul speaking about the wisdom of this world and of the God. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That means in a way nobody can explain. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained or channels to us before the foundation, before the world, unto our glory. So the glorification of the saints is rooted in wisdom. Wisdom is the fountain of glory. Now, the scriptures talk about the glory of Solomon. Wisdom. As we may see later, Solomon never traveled to any nation. Now, please permit me, I stand to be corrected, but for my study of scriptures, I never heard or I never read that Solomon traveled to a country. But all nations of the heart came to Solomon. How did Solomon become rich? Solomon was a consultant. A consultant king. They come from problems from their nation, and they bring consultancy fees to him. Now see, I see a lot of people here. You become so wise, you will stop looking for a job. Now, all wise men, notice in scriptures, never sought for a job. They begged them to take a place. Not, they didn't beg them to take a job. They begged them to take over. Your era of job seeking will soon be over. Now, let nobody get me wrong here. I don't want you to leave this place and say, well, Bishop said, we won't look for job again. Yes, job, come, we won't look for you again. Before, amen. Get me right, please. Because there are people who just want to take what they like. I didn't say, don't look for job. I said, a time is coming. So wait for that time to come. Meanwhile, if you have a job, keep it and take advantage of it to develop yourself. Joseph was an employee, and not just an employee, a slave. Now, why did he go through slavery? Not because he was a fool, but that was his level at that time. And in any case, God took him through the house of Potiphar to learn the protocol of the palace. Because Potiphar was a great officer in the kingdom at that time. So he took him through. So, because you see, even though you are destined for greatness, you need to learn the protocols of greatness, lest you get there and they drive you back.
That's why when they called him to the throne, to the palace, say, excuse me, please wait 1 minute.
I noticed that whenever Potiphar, my master, was going there, he would shave and change his clothes. Don't let your appearance betray your opportunity. Now,
what? Let's quickly look at scripturally established kinds of wisdom.
Number one is earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom. We find this analysis in James chapter 3 from verse 17, 18 down the line. We have what we call earthly wisdom, which is derived from nature. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. James chapter 3, verse 15. There is earthly wisdom, the kind of wisdom that you learn either by native understanding or by intuition. You just grow to learn that this is what to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Paul said, even nature teaches us, but not even nature itself teach you. So there is what nature teaches you. You don't teach a baby when he's hungry where to get food from. He knows how the mouth will trace the nipple of the mother's breast. There is also, number two, sensual wisdom. This is the kind of wisdom we gather from educational systems. From educational system, we learn science, art, social sciences, and we learn everything that we can. Daniel went through that school with his companions. Daniel chapter 1, verses 3, all the way to 6, and upon graduation, in verse 17 and 20, they stood before the king and they discovered that they were wiser than all the others. It's a place where you learn skills and expertise, which again, all of us are encouraged to be exposed to. Number three is devilish wisdom, which is drawn from satanic platforms. Magic, divine divination, astrology, soothsaying, witchcraftry, voodoos or voodoos. Daniel chapter 5 verse 11. There were all of those devilish platform of wisdom. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of magicians. So there were magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, soothsayers, and all of that. People who are palm readers, who have all of those kind of funny things. But Daniel was their master. He was above them. He was incomparable. No one could contest with him because their levels were different. Then number four, which is the peak, is divine wisdom, which is from above. We saw again in that scriptures, in James chapter 3, verse 15, this kind of wisdom is the wisdom we call inspiration. You see, the people in the world can compete with you for creativity and innovation because there are things that you can learn. But there is this order of wisdom, the highest order, that we call inspiration. There's a spirit in man
that connects him to God. Job 32 verse 8. That inspires him. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Now, you can learn other kinds of wisdom, but you can only receive inspiration. You don't learn inspiration. You don't study inspiration because it comes suddenly. It comes instantly. Let me use that word. Inspiration. Is the move of the Spirit of God upon the brain or the mind of man. You cannot learn it. You can only receive it. By inspiration, you are sent instant answers to sudden problems. Instant answers to sudden problems. The examples we are going to look at were men who received instant answers to solve sudden, unannounced problems. I've watched very well the life of God's servant, the apostle by this commission, Bishop David Oyedepo, is a man who operates mainly under inspiration of God. In the classroom that Daniel attended, their teachers was before them teaching them. But Daniel was receiving vertical from heaven. The teacher was perpendicular. God was vertical. That's why they were 10 times better than their teacher. David said, I am wiser than all my teachers. As I speak over you now, that order of wisdom is coming upon you. I can see your brain cells jacking right now. That's what we refer to as the spirit of wisdom. Paul said that you will receive the spirit of wisdom and understanding of God. Ephesians chapter 1. As I pray, verses 18, 19, all the way 20. That God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom. There's a spirit behind this order of wisdom. It comes from heaven. Heavenly wisdom. Divine wisdom. Other wisdom are human wisdom. But this is divine. Unpolluted. Unadulterated. Something about inspiration, it comes as a package. A package of what to do and how to do it. After this order of wisdom, nobody speaks. It was the order of wisdom upon Job. Job said, after I speak, nobody had a comment to make. You can correct creativity and innovation, but if it is inspiration, perfect package. Say, I receive it. The spirit of wisdom. Then was the secret revealed, not studied, revealed unto Daniel. Revealed unto Daniel. Daniel 2:19. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Quick, four examples. Number one, Joseph in Egypt. Genesis 41, 15 to 16. Joseph became a slave at 17. Thank God for what we learn in school, but the wisdom of God is superior to what we learn in school. 41, 15, 16. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard concerning you
that you can understand a dream to interpret it. They will soon hear of you.
I thought I'm praying for someone here. Now, listen.
And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me." That means this order of wisdom is not what is acquired from school.
Look at God, the source of my inspiration,
will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now listen to this. The best of human brains sits around the king, but they couldn't find a solution until somebody came from heaven. He that is from above is above all. When we are familiar with the story, to save time, you can read all the other passage, or the remaining part of the passage from 38 to 44. After he spake, the king said, "Inasmuch as God has given you this idea, take over." Take over.
That's how they'll be telling somebody here. Take over. Take over. Take over.
Now, before then, Joseph had told the king. He said, "Let the king look for a man." He knew the king won't find it. Let a man look for someone who would. Now, please listen to this. Real wise people don't struggle for position. And they don't exhibit their gift at a cost because you can't pay them.
A wise man of this order does not wait for pay pack of salary. It's too much for salary. That's why at the end of the day, the king said to Joseph, "Take over, sit on the throne." He removed his ring and gave him, removed his vest and gave him.
Told him, "Except at the peak, no one will qualify like you." His name did not need to go through Senate for screening. He was too big for screening. The king said, "Oh yeah, order, immediately, immediately, immediately." Wisdom takes you up instantly and speedily. Number two example, Daniel. We've made quite some reference to him. Daniel chapter 2, verse 16 to 19. Nobody could interpret the dream of the king, and the king said, "I will kill all of you. If you don't answer this dream, I will kill all of you." And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he will give him time and he will show him the interpretation. The king, show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto his companions. Verse 18. That they will desire mercy of the Lord God of heaven concerning this secret. Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. Human wisdom is subject to destruction. But if you are wise in God, he will make a way for you. Then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in the night season. His wisdom was indescribable. In verse 46, he took over the throne. Chapter 8, verses 8, 11 to 17. The king was looking for how to be helped. Chapter 5, verse 8. Then the queen of that time said, "Hey, there is a man, there is a man that was in your father's kingdom." Chapter 5, verse 8. Then verse 11 to verse 17. That's how they found Daniel. He didn't look like it. When Daniel appeared before the king, the king said, "Art that thou Daniel? You don't look like it." And Daniel said, "I'm not more than this. Because what is making it happen is not grammar. It is a touch on my brain from heaven. Inspiration is a tap on the brain." Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Get connected. Wake up. Put your hand on your head, please. I decree that from today, at every sudden issue, the Spirit of God will tap up your brain. You will always know what to do. Then in chapter 6, when some overseers were chosen Daniel was still over them because an excellent spirit was found in him. Number three example is David, king in Israel. Now, David was described as a man who operated with the wisdom of an angel. And you know something about angels? They don't make error. They don't make mistake. So everything David did was faultless. They couldn't compare him with anybody. 2 Samuel chapter 14 verse 20. 2 Kings chapter 14 verse 20. His wisdom was like that of an angel. 2 Samuel chapter 14 verse 20. Please help me clap your hand for the studio. Wonderful man there. To fetch about this form of speech, at thy servant Joab done this thing, and my Lord is wise, referring to David, according to, or in the class of the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth. And so, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 to 5, come with me very quickly. And it came to pass when the king had made an end of speaking. I mean, when he, David, had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan, the prince, the one who should take over from his father, was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. You can't be wise and be hated. Wise people are usually toast of the society. And Saul took him that day. No employment letter. He took him and would let him go no more to his father's palo. From palo to palace. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, his princely wear, potential king, and gave it to David. Handed over to David and his garment, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. What remains on him? Everything handed over to David. And David went whithersoever Saul sent him. Did you see that? He was still serving. So don't say because you are wise, you are the head of it. You are not the one to announce it. Don't tell them, I'm just coming from the convention now. I have wisdom. All of you, I rule over you. You are not the one to announce it. He went everywhere and he behaved himself wisely. The manifestation of wisdom begins with wise behavior. And as a result of that wise behavior, Saul set him over men of war without going through military school. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people. Can you see that? Wisdom makes you acceptable everywhere you go to. And in the sight of Saul's servant. And in verse 14 of the same chapter. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. God is never with foolish people. Verse 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. People fear wise men. Because if you let him go, you are naked. And verse 30. And David behaved himself more wisely, that to the point that all men set him aside. They set him by. He was no longer in their class. Wisdom changes class until nobody can compete with you. Now, truly wise men don't apply to rule. They are rather invited to the throne. Wisdom from above can take over any kingdom. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and bringeth it down. Proverbs 21:22. God's wisdom at work can secure any nation. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verses 14 to 16. There is a story of a big, great city. Or a little city. And few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. And what happened? Verse 15. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. Your own case will be rich wise man.
And he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that poor man. You see, when you are poor, nobody remembers you. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. People will not see your sweat again. See, fools always sweat. No matter how energetic you are, if you're a fool, you end as a laborer, a slave. Many are hard working, but they are fools. Now, quickly, let's run through this. What are the biblical sources for building divine wisdom bank? Number one, very fundamental, is the fear of the Lord. You see, in relating with God, you have to first deal with who you are separately from what you do. Who you are, your person in prayer before your petition. God sees you before he hears you. God notices you before he attends to you. Who you are. In the school of wisdom, you have to walk in the fear of God. Before God will walk for you, he wants to walk with you. In the fear of God. In purity, in holiness, in sanctification. Don't defile yourself. Repeatedly, beginning from Job to David to Solomon, they established the fact that the fear of God is a foundation of wisdom. Job 28:28. The fear of God. Young people, walk in the fear of God. Job 20:28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. That means sin and evil corrupts mentality. It corrupts mentality. Who was Job? A man that feared the Lord. Job chapter 1, verse 1. A man that feared the Lord. And to prove that he feared the Lord, he eschewed evil. He wasn't chewing evil, he eschewed evil. He didn't accommodate evil, he rejected evil. That's why Satan was targeting Joseph. To define him so he can corrupt his mind. A man that feared the Lord. I don't know what your credentials are, but this is the best credential to have. A man that feared the Lord and proves that he fears God by rejecting evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 15 or verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you love evil, you don't fear God. To hate evil, to reject evil. When evil comes your way, switch off. Switch off. Don't let it stay with you because it will corrupt your mentality. Psalm 25, verse 14. Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. So secret and wisdom, they are the same. He's with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So when you walk in the fear of God, you become a custodian of God's wisdom. God's wisdom is in the custody of those who fear him. Psalm 110, verse 10. David, repeating that again. The fear of the Lord. The Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all them that do his commandment and praise his praise endureth forever. Say loud, amen.
Amen.
And Solomon also said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, may you receive the spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, the foundation upon which wisdom builds. So who you are, not what you study, is what gives you access to wisdom. Joseph said, but I fear God. Solomon the wise was reduced to Solomon the philosopher when he stepped into sin. He loved the Lord and God gave him wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 3, or 2 Kings rather, chapter 3 verse 3, and in 2 Kings chapter 11, Solomon loved many strange women. Now, you can see the difference between Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Proverbs was very pure, or is very pure. Ecclesiastes is corrupted wisdom. Because he wrote Ecclesiastes in a state of drunkenness. Sometimes his eyes are clear. Sometimes his eyes are turning. Some other times he's seeing things double. So, what is the benefit of living? Can I really understand?
Vanity upon vanity. And his secretaries must write it down.
So they said, the king said, vanity. Ah, the king, you are very wise. Ranka did it. Vanity upon vanity. Write it down. That's what the king said. Vanity, vanity, vanity. Now, Ecclesiastes, I believe, was allowed to be in the Bible so you can see the vanity of human wisdom. Look at the whole of Proverbs. Neat. Pure wisdom. So may I receive grace to walk in the fear of God. Now, upon establishing your person before the Lord, then you can now build on it. And number one builder of wisdom is the word of God. The word. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 8. God's word contains capsules of wisdom. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, in the Psalms, you see law, the testimony, precept, they are all talking about the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the fool. So God's word makes wise. The tattoos of the Lord are right. God's word makes you right from being wrong. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, opening your eyes of understanding. The more you behold the word, the wiser you become. And from child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. God's word gingers the virtues of wisdom inside you. God's word inoculates you for wisdom. That's why the wisest of all men in all ages were men of this book. If we've not done so, study the scientists of old. Many of them were backward in regular education, but were filled with wisdom. Michael Faraday, Isaac Newton, all of those great names. Hastings, whose class teacher told the mother, your child is uneducatable, has become the scientist of all times, in all generations. Psalm 119 verses 97 all the way to 100. 119, 97 to 100. David talking about the word. I love your law, your word. It is my meditation all the day. And as a result, thou through thy commandments art made me wiser than my enemies, because your words are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your word are my meditation. Can you see that? Meditating on the word. I understand more than all the ancients because I keep your precepts. Look, this is your greatest treasure in the school of wisdom.
Have you observed all the standing governments of this world, especially in the West, are based on the precepts of the Word of God? Military, scientific, administration, management, they are all here. That's why you discover that the greatest organization in this world today, like this ministry, founded on scriptures. People coming to learn from everywhere.
Do you notice that Jesus' wisdom increased by learning the Word of God? Luke 2:40,
and the child waxed strong in the spirit and was filled with wisdom. How? Verse 46, they were looking for him, and they found him seated among doctors and lawyers, both hearing and asking questions. And 47,
and all that heard him at age 12 were astonished at the understanding and answers.
And in verse 52, reading down the line, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom.
So wisdom increases with word increase.
So read the word, study the word, meditate on the word.
Number three source of building the wisdom bank is the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Jesus said, when you stand before men, thou shalt not be afraid of what you say. Matthew chapter 10. He said, because the Spirit of your Father will come upon you, and he will give you a mouth and a wisdom which none of your adversaries shall be able to resist nor gainsay. Say, he will give you such inspiration that will turn them hands down.
Luke 11:49 is described as the wisdom of God.
Spiritual buoyancy enhances mental excellence.
Again, concerning Jesus, Luke 2:40,
he was strong in the spirit. He was strong in the spirit. Be strong in the Holy Ghost,
and you will never suffer mental dullness.
Be strong in the spirit.
John 14:26, John 16:12-14. All of it pointing to the wisdom of God.
John 14:26.
Studio, make it clear. 14:26.
The Comforter, he will bring all things to your remembrance. He shall teach you all things. He shall teach you all things.
16:12-14. There are many things I want to say to you, but you don't have the capacity until the Holy Spirit comes.
So the Holy Spirit increases our capacity for wisdom.
God gave Solomon wisdom.
He gave him the capacity to contain it.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13.
1 Corinthians 2, 12 to 13.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, which is of God. The spirit which is of God. We receive the spirit first, that enable us that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth.
So the Holy Ghost teaches. He teaches us. He gives us super wisdom. He gives us inspiration to be able to assess the things that belongs to us.
Say, I receive it.
Now, as we close, how do you activate the wisdom from above?
Number one, through the altar of prayer.
The altar of prayer. Jeremiah 33:3.
Call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you.
Daniel and his companions prayed, and God revealed the secret.
Lord, which way? Which way, Lord? You are confronted with certain situation, Lord. Which way? Holy Spirit, give me the wisdom right now.
If any man lack wisdom to handle a particular situation, let him pray.
James 1:5. Please listen to this. Solomon prayed only once for wisdom. And when he stopped praying, he started lacking wisdom.
Wisdom is one thing you must keep praying about. Now, if you read Ecclesiastes again, that's when Solomon said, I gave myself to reasoning. I gave myself to this. And it's happening in the church today. Many people are reading books of unbelievers on wisdom. Motivational books. That's what many are doing today. Beyond motivational books, the wisdom of God. Lord, I need your wisdom. Solomon read no book. He only prayed for God to give him wisdom. Now, I didn't say don't read books.
I didn't say so. Did I say so? Okay.
So when he stopped praying for wisdom, he started lacking wisdom. If any man lack anything, let him ask for God.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 21. I gave myself. I think 7:23. Please help me out.
All this have I proved by wisdom. I said I would be wise, but it was far from me. He was looking it from other sources until he started writing junks.
Do you want wisdom to be made manifest in your life? Pray for it.
Number two, follow the dictates of scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 4. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, the word of God, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Look at this. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom. Keeping the word, doing the word, is your wisdom in the sight of all the nations. We shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. The same thing Jesus repeated in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Therefore, whosoever heareth my sayings, these sayings of mine, and read them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. So, you see, wisdom, hearing and doing the word. Whatever it tells you to do, you do it. Say loud, amen.
Amen.
God's word is God's ways.
Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8. So when we go his way, we are manifesting his wisdom.
Following the wise God naturally makes you wise.
Remember, God is the only wise God. Romans 16:25. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17. Jude verse 25, the only wise God. The only wise God. And finally, number three,
interact with wise people, companions, and those who are above you, and even those who are around you. Daniel and his companions.
Daniel chapter 2, I think verse 17.
Daniel and his companions. He that walk with the wise shall be wise.
Proverbs 13, verse 20. Walk with the wise. Your companions, those ahead of you, stand in the way. If you can't contact them live, read their materials, listen to their messages.
Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 to 17. Walk with the wise to enrich your wisdom.
there is not one all-knowing man. I take wisdom from everybody I meet. Ecclesiastes 3:14. He said, "And a king who seizes 4:13, please, who ceases to listen to counsel," he said, "even a little child is better than him. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more take counsel." Proverbs 15:22, we build up our wisdom by reasoning with our companions. A lot of times, I share this testimony in honor of God's servant. He will call us. "What do you think about this? What do you have to say about this?" Even till this afternoon, working together with one of my companions, he said, "Oh, that was a very good idea. That was a very good idea. That was a very good idea." Value the wisdom of the young and the old. Don't always like to carry yourself as if you know everything. Wise people build their wisdom by listening to the wisdom of others. I see you fully enthroned. I see you finally enthroned. Lift up your hand, everybody. This day I declare clear wisdom of God come upon you. Please stand to your feet, everybody. Amen. Now I want you to do something. You know, wisdom is in mysteries, and praying in an unknown tongue is mystery. One way to assess the mystery of the wisdom of God is to pray in the mystery language of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the next 1 minute, I'd like you to pray in an unknown tongue. That's your mystery tool for assessing the mystery of God's wisdom. Avoid distraction. Don't look around at this time. Concentrate yourself. You are looking for something. You are looking for something. In the Holy Ghost. Yes. Liri clang 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 da clang da clang te 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 te. Yakika. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. It is done. Give God a big hand and get seated, please. Now, quickly, before we close for the night, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of God is to depart from evil. Run away from fornication, immorality, smoking, drinking, all kinds of junk. They corrupt your mentality. If you are living in sin, you need to jump out and call for the help of God. Sin